FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's the second day of October 2018. Time waits for no man, and it's not going to wait for you, even if you're a female. In any event, that's a quote from me, and you can take it to the bank. So a lot of important things that you need to consider. First and foremost, consider being a part of the show. Email us. If it's really good, I'll read it on air. And if it's really, really good, I'll have you on air to discuss it. So the email address, I know you've heard it many times, kl@kerrylutz.com. So we've got this bull market, oldest one in history. You know, the bull market has been going on for over 10 years. The financial crash, it's 10 years old now. Hard to believe. And at some point, the market will go down again. Yes, I know you find that hard to believe. Sometimes I can't even believe it. But I know it to be true because, first and foremost, I am a student of history, and hopefully you are one as well. History doesn't lie. History tells you what you need to do and what you need to look out at in the future. Hey, our good friend Lior Gantz is here from wealthresearchgroup.com. And Lior, welcome back. And you've got some wisdom about what to do when the inevitable bear market comes.
Sure. What I do want to really talk about is how to build a bull market portfolio while there is a bear market in niche segments. In other words, for the past 10 years, you've seen this beautiful bull market in general U.S. equities. At 2009 offered an amazing buying opportunity that rarely comes along for large cap stocks, right? You don't see large cap companies trade at such a steep discount like they did in 2009 when there was what's called forced selling or forced liquidation. So in everyday life, today, tomorrow, the next day, right? If there's no major event happening, there's no reason for shareholders of Microsoft, for example, to sell their positions for very discounted bids. And they don't. So 2008 was a really unique event because margin calls were placed and people were selling or panic selling. And they sold for prices that may never return for another 5, 10, 20 years. Who knows, right? So there's a bull market and you got to take advantage of it because it's in the general equities. And statistics shows that 75% of the time, the U.S. markets go up. So, you know, being involved in the U.S. markets has been the surest way to compound wealth over the years. But if you're looking to do that, it also has some predictability to it. The S&P 500 has returned about 8% a year without reinvesting dividends for the past 40, 50, 60 years, right? So when you have a middle-class income and you earn, let's say, about $40,000, $50,000 a year, you're able to save about $10,000 a year. If you put that at 8%, that doubles about every 7 years. You're not going to even reach the $1 million mark for retirement. So what you need to also do is find another niche segment, another sector that you can become an expert of that has a less predictable rate of return, which means that it's more volatile, it's more risky. But if you do more research and become an expert on it, you can find it to be as predictable to you as the general markets are because your level of knowledge is bigger. Right. Then you can control your trades during a bear market and really capitalize on bull markets. What I have here is 11 ways that I do it. So 90% of the time, 90% of my money is placed within the Dynasty portfolio. I know you mentioned off the air that you read the latest Wealth Research Group letter, which talked about, you know, some of my life story, and part of it was a company that I owned and still own 18 years later, which was my first stock that I bought at the age of 16. And this is one of those stocks that has a predictable rate of return. But, you know, what I try and find is companies that actually outperform the S&P 500 by a few percentage points. But over the long term, making 12% a year instead of 8 is a huge, huge difference. And you can kind of use compounding tables to see the amazing difference. And then if you add reinvesting dividends, it's even bigger. It can go to about 14%, 15% a year without even having it managed by a brilliant hedge fund manager, et cetera. You're doing it on your own. But anyways.
Yeah. You're spot on, man. Hey, you know, but it's so rare for a money manager, let alone an individual, to do it. You need a couple lottery ticket winners in there, which you may or may not get. And then you need some really sound trading strategies so that you don't stay in losers and you pile on to winners. So tell us your wisdom here, how you can achieve this, even if you're Joe Sixpack doing a factory job, blue collar job. You're in Michigan. Right. You're on an assembly line. How do you do it?
Sure. So first of all, I want to, in about 30 seconds, just share with you that there's a few very famous stories in the U.S. press about people that were janitors or very low level employees, but they simply allocated a percentage of their wages every month and put it into the stock market and to certain type of companies, which I call dividend aristocrats. It's a right. list of about 52 companies. Just research them and focus on them. If you really focus on them and you find those that are cheaper, those have a predictable rate of return that is higher than 10%. And if you reinvest dividends in them, which is called compounding, and you can go to the Wealth Research Group site, on the top menu, just click on Dividend Mania, and you can download a few reports, special reports that talk about this, which is great reading. But anyways, with 90% of the money, go to this. Go to the surest way, the safest way to build wealth over time. And in 20 to 30 years, it's, you know, you need patience, you need discipline, but you'll have a big nest egg. And obviously, the more you earn on your career, this compounding, the secondary engine that goes beside your wage, if you're not a business owner, right, is an amazing tool. But then with 10% of the money, you do look for those, or at least I do, look for those lottery tickets. But what I want to do is I want to make sure that they're not lottery tickets. I want to make sure that they're calculated risks,
yeah.
right? So
yeah,
I'm not looking for we call them lottery tickets, right?
Yeah.
But really what they are is they're companies that you found out everything you can about the leadership, the management, the ownership, because usually the operators, the management team is also big, has a lot of skin in the game, because these are smaller cap companies and their destiny is going to be decided by the management most of all. So,
hey, and I had a few of those lottery tickets myself. I kind of blew them afterwards. One of them, I used my legal knowledge and looked for companies that had gotten large judgments for patent infringement, had won in the lower court, and were up on appeal, and the company's stock price didn't reflect it. And one of them I managed to get into and get like a six bagger was TiVo, because they had won. It took 2-3 years, but my $2 a share went up to about $10 a share or 12. You know, it can be done, but you have to, I like the Peter Lynch theory there. Use your expertise, you know,
sure.
to,
yeah.
If you're okay. a steel worker, then you know something about steel. So
that's right.
Use it, right? I'm sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
It's funny that you bring it up, because that's the first book I read about investing, the Peter Lynch book. My grandfather gave me two books when I was 16, and Peter Lynch was one of them. And what I
the
liked
walk
about
down
it
is Wall Street.
And in the book, he talks about, hey, my teenage daughter, she gave me some of the fund's biggest winners.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, what did she pick, right? And she picked all these stuff, all these companies that were familiar to her that she can see with her own eyes. And the first company that I bought was an apparel manufacturer because I was working at a clothing store when I was a teen at that time, and I knew a lot about the clothing brand. So, but anyways, yeah. So here are 11 ways to really control your bear market portfolio, yeah. Because with small caps companies, what you really want to try and do is you want to capture buy as many shares as possible before the trend changes. Now, obviously, buying in a bull market is great, but some of these smaller segments of or smaller industries, like the mining industry, for example, they can spend a lot of time in a bear market and very short time during a bull market. So if you do not invest during a bear market, you will find yourself chasing stocks higher in a bull market and not grabbing a lion's share of the money, because you're going to overpay and probably get into a situation where there's going to be a shortage of liquidity when you try and sell your shares.
And that reminds me of a Peter Lynch quote, the dumb money isn't dumb until it listens to the smart money.
and the wise man does first what the dumb man does last, right? So,
yeah.
and that's a Buffett quote. So here's number one. So number one is use the 9-to-1 rule. Anytime you see a very a great opportunity in the small cap sector. So, for example, mm-hmm. Wealth Research Group covered a company 2.5 weeks ago, Coya's Beverage, mm-hmm. and it went up 525% in 2 weeks. For every dollar that you put into those type of companies that are, you know, this was a $10 million company that now is like a $50 million company.
That was
so
quick.
It was a very small company.
That was quick. That was really quick, Lior. Well, they should all be that good.
they had very remarkable news. So they had game-changing news, and it was a company that we followed for a long time. So it was a great timing on our behalf. It doesn't always work that way, but this was an amazing chain of events. But anyways, if you – when you do this, for every dollar that you speculate with, $9, put them in – Dividend Aristocrats or in the general market. So you would have this 9-to-1 discipline rule. Now, this could be 8-to-2, depending on your risk tolerance, but make sure that you don't overwhelm the speculative part of your portfolio, overwhelm the other side, so that if something goes wrong with your speculative opportunities, you still have the overwhelming lion's share of the money compounding and working on your behalf. This is number one. The second thing in a bear market is the dollar cost average. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's really easy. If you decide to invest, let's say, for example, $20,000 into something, into an opportunity, don't place the entire order day one. Place about 20% of it day one, so $4,000 in this example.
Yes.
Then wait. See what happens. If the stock drops 10 to 15 to 20%, place another 20% in there. If it drops another 20%, place another 30%. So overall, dollar cost average your position so that you build that 20 grand position. But as the stock falls, your average cost is much lower than originally buying everything at a dollar. Now, don't go blindly doing this, because a stock that falls 20%, 20%, 20%, there could be something wrong with it.
Yeah.
So this brings me to my third bear market strategy, which is to be an active investor. In other words, if you see a company like this, call the company. Call the CEO if it's small enough, or call the investor relation representative and see why this is happening. Is this happening because some of the venture capital is exiting the company, which is pretty normal for people that funded this company 2 or 3 years ago when it was private, to kind of take their money out because they've been waiting for 2 or 3 years for it to go public? Or is this something that is material to the company? Is there something wrong with what's going on? Is this the overall environment, the industry, or is this something unique to this company? Become an active investor means that you do more than just, you know, dollar cost average blindly. You learn exactly what's going on. And some of these companies are very easy to understand. If there's a problem with the factory is closed for a week, the mine is shut for a strike, you know that there's a problem. So you don't have to be as aggressive with your dollar cost averaging. Maybe you wait for it to drop even further and then overwhelm it with buying, because obviously the mine, once the strike is over, the mine will be open and you'll see a rebound. So just become an active investor is very important. On the flip side, let's say you buy your 20% initially at a dollar and the stock rallies. Well, mm-hmm. Nobody ever died of small profits is a great saying that my dad, copied from somebody else. But
mine was you never go broke taking a profit.
Exactly. So if you didn't end up putting the entire 20 grand in there, you only put four and it rallied and you're up. That's fine. You're in a bear market. Remember, every profit is good. So that's the third one. Fourth one, why don't you short or hedge either the underlying commodity or hedge by going long a very uncorrelated industry? So in other words, if you see this zinc miner that you feel has an amazing opportunity because it sits on a great asset, but it's going to take 2 to 3 years to develop it, and you want to build your position by dollar cost averaging, et cetera, and talking to the company, all that kind of stuff that we already talked about, why don't you short the commodity zinc in the meantime so that you profit from the bear market while you build a quality position on the flip side? Remember, mm-hmm. the underlying commodity trades at less of a volatility to the mining share. So you'll make 20 to 30% on one position, while on the other position you'll make 200 to 300%. So it balances out beautifully to short the underlying commodity and then exit the trade and then see the miner go up when it's time, when the bull market resumes. So that's another great bear market strategy. Another great bear market strategy is to go with companies that are recession proof or bear market proof. In the mining sector, for example, these would be the royalty companies or the streaming companies that tend to even perform well during bear markets.
Great point.
I don't want to start naming companies and to go down the line, but if you look at some of these companies, they have incredible performances even during a bear market. Now, the sixth one is critical. It's called stop loss, automated stop losses and proper position sizing. So what you want to do is you want to get to a number that you're not willing to lose more than it. For example, you don't want to lose over 5% of the portfolio. So in our example, if you're going to risk 20 grand and your entire portfolio is $320,000, then you don't want to lose more than 5% of it. 5% is $16,000, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to see, okay, if I dollar cost average the stock, it went down from $1 to 50 cents and I kept buying. So my overall position is like 70 cents. So I'm down like 28% now because it went from 70 and it's now at 50. For me to lose $16,000 on this trade, which would only reflect a 5% loss on my overall portfolio, this stock needs to fall from 70 cents to 14 cents. It needs to fall a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're disciplined, if you stick with automated stop loss positions and you do this beautifully, then you can do opportunities and actually repeat this process great. So this is another important thing. Now, number seven is you need to think in terms of longer term positions. So when you invest in speculative opportunities, sometimes you need to realize that it might take 7 to 10 years for this company, for this opportunity to really blossom. You need to think in terms of these companies can be as similar to startup companies. So when you invest in them, you have to think, if I'm investing in a bear market, this could take a few years to actually materialize. And you know, having met multimillionaires, billionaires in the mining industry, also in the biotech industry, etc. Sometimes they tell me about companies that they already threw in the towel of. You know, they just had their position there, but 7 years later, the company gets the patent, the company gets the mine operating, all, you know, and this entire length of time becomes an incredible return on investment. But for the first 6 years, it was dead money. So think about that as well. And what I'm telling you is, as an investor, have that mindset that, hey, I could be investing in something that will be dead money for 6 years, and the seventh year will make up for the entire time I spend. And that's why, if we go back to the first one, if you invest 90% in dividend companies, then you will not think about this 10% that is doing nothing in the meantime, right? Because you'll be getting income and you'll grow your wealth.
And I just want to tell you one story about that.
Sure.
It wasn't bought in the open market or anything like that, but my closest, oldest friend, known for 55 years, he worked for a company and he got a bunch of stock options. He got a bunch of stock. Eventually, he got fired from the company through no fault of his own. And he kept the stock and it was worth pennies. They kept approaching him to sell it. He said, nah, I'll hold on to it. The company wound up getting bought by eBay. And what he got for free, he wound up making $1.8 million off That's of beautiful. His worthless stock. And it's a perfect example. In that, he was in it for over 10 years. So we got time for one more. And then the rest, you got to go over to wealthresearchgroup.com and check it out for yourself. And so tell us the last one here, Lior.
Well, if you want to access this special report, this exact special report, you go to wealthresearchgroup.com/bear. And you can download these 11 strategies that I created especially for your listeners in one special report. So that's cool. It's going to be there starting this Friday. So on the 5th of the month. The last one is a watch list. And this is critical. If you build a database, a watch list of great companies that you visit regularly, you watch their press releases, you kind of become an active investor, like I said, and you call the company, you learn who the people are, and over time, over months, and over 3, 4, 5 years, you build this database of a few dozen companies, you'll be able to know exactly what price points the people that are actually the insiders, the people that actually believe in the company the most, when are they buying?
Yeah.
And what prices do they like the stock? You're going to be able to know much more. So building this watch list that is not endless, that is only a few dozen companies, you don't need more than that. You can't, as one individual, especially as a part-time individual, know more than that. So if you have a list of about 30 companies and you only focus on them, and obviously you can erase some and add other ones instead. In other words, it's a work in progress. You built this database of great companies. You'll be able to know much more than anyone else about these companies. And with small cap companies, like I said, it's not in the product or the service itself. It's not, you don't need to be an expert on the actual product or the actual service, especially with commodities, right? Because they all mine the same stuff. What you need to know is what the people are doing. If the manager, if the management, if the CEO is buying stock, is selling stock, how's his life doing? Is he focused? What's going on with him? And this way, you'll know much better. His reputation, all these kind of things, they play into it. Yeah, so
great points. Well, hey, so just tell us again, where do we find this report?
This specific one is at wealthresearchgroup.com/bear, like bear market. And we are going to feature two new companies in the next 20 days here that are in a bull market. I'm talking about the cannabis industry, the same industry that brought us the previous alert that we issued for the 525% gain in 2 weeks. From the same industry for 18 years, this company, which was the first stock I ever owned, I looked for a company that has a similar model. something that it was replicated from clothing and apparel, and mm-hmm. was taken to the cannabis industry, because this company is the number one apparel manufacturer in the world. This company that I've owned for 18 years.
All right.
I've looked at what is the same scenario in the cannabis industry. And that's what we found.
All right. So we got to wrap up. Wealthresearchgroup.com. Check it out. Hey, as always, we invite you to send us an email, to communicate with the show. We love hearing from you. Best part of my day when I kick back and bang down a Java and read your emails. So it's kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Lior, as always, many thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.